Maddie's Castle.
Hey, Mike Jensen.
How's it going on the Upper East Side?
It's going well. I just got my lease renewal, so looks like I'll be staying here for another, I think, 2 years. We're going to do 2 years because we don't know what's going to happen in this world, and I might as well lock in that deal while I can.
Yeah, I want to live in a world in which someone will discover this one day and it won't matter that this episode came out a couple days late. But just for our listeners that are weekly with us, yeah, I was stuck. I was in my hometown for 2 extra days when there was bad weather / Omicron sweeping the nation, especially in the Pacific Northwest. And then I managed to get to Seattle, and I thought, here we are, I'm in Seattle, that's all that matters. And then, nope, I was stranded in the suburbs of Seattle for 3 nights. And it was an interesting little extended stay that I got to do in Kent, Washington.
And if anyone knows Mike Jensen, like, if you know Mike Jensen, you know that the thing that he hates the most is, like, being late for a flight or missing a flight or, like, flight anxiety. Like, that whole, there's that episode when Carrie and Big are going to, it's in the first season where they're going to go somewhere and you were so anxious about, like, you know, missing the flight and all of that stuff. And you were missing a lot of flights.
I was missing a lot of flights. It was not the most relaxing end of my holiday vacation, but we're back. We're here. We're talking about some of my best friends. This debuted December 23rd, 2021.
But hold on. There's a couple buttholes I want to touch base with real quick. The first one is, so on the will, it reads Natasha Nijinsky. And I was just like, yeah, Natasha Nijinsky, that's her name. I remember that. But then it was like reminded to me by many of our listeners and my own brain that that was just kind of a nickname Carrie gave her when Big said they were going to get engaged. And remember, she's like, have fun with Nijinsky or whatever her name is. And I don't know if that was like an Easter egg that the writers put in the will to kind of like make us laugh, if that was her real name or not.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think that it was her real name. You know, it was also pointed out that it talks about Barbara, who was the name of the first wife that we met in the Three's a Crowd episode in the first season, but it still had the same last name. So I do think that I can't imagine they're just woefully ignorant to the fact that people are going to stop and read these documents. So I feel like there has to be a little bit of a wink in there.
Yeah, yeah. Like, that's what it was. Like, it wasn't that Nijinsky was her real last name. They were just like, we'll make them laugh a little bit in this sad moment.
That's what I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I have a butthole too, Elise. So this is, I could actually wait and do this when we get to the moment, because the actual address is revealed of where Carrie and Big's apartment is. For some reason, when I had read it before, it had looked like it was 50-50, but what I was seeing was just part of 1150 Fifth Avenue, which is a real building. It's actually on East 96th Street. I did a little bit of research. There is currently a 4-bedroom, 3.5-bathroom on sale for just under $8 million. So, and then also, there's a 3-bedroom, 2-bathroom for just under $3 million. And I'm not saying that's nothing. That's a good amount of money. But I was a little bit like, that's not insanely expensive for a 3-bedroom in a building like that. So I say that we, let's go in on it, Elise.
Yeah,
we
you
need
and
our
I,
own bathroom.
Yeah, we'll use that. yeah, we'll use the money that we made from brunch this weekend and go do that.
Perfect.
Oh, also, I want to clear one more thing up. I did a little Q&A this past Sunday because we didn't have an episode. So I said, like, people could ask questions. And I had mentioned that I was doing it on my walk to brunch. And someone had reached out and said, I thought you and Mike hated people that went to brunch and you're going to brunch. No, no, no. I was walking to work brunch. But one day when we're very rich, we won't be working brunch.
Yeah. I don't hate people that go to brunch. I want to be clear. They just can tend to be a little more difficult is all.
Well, yeah. And it's early and everyone's just...
No hate.
No hate. No, we go to brunch sometimes.
So we get some new people. We get some new behind the scenes individuals on this new episode. This episode is directed by Gillian Robespierre. She has directed a few episodes of Only Murders in the Building, A Teacher, Shrill, Casual. Those are all shows that I enjoy, which is why I bring them up. She also wrote and directed a movie called Obvious Child that came out several years ago. Jenny Slate so good. I was like a little bit obsessed with that film. It was a really a little independent film, but definitely worth checking out. And then this was written by Kelly Goff, who the only thing that she's written that I really know was she wrote for a show called Being Mary Jane. But I suppose most importantly, she apparently went to college with our friend Patrick.
Oh,
yep. So there you go.
Do they know each other?
We didn't get super into it, but he just sent me a text being like, I went to college with this girl. So there you go.
Oh, that's great.
So we start out with Carrie in her bed at her old apartment. I don't fully get why there are things in boxes, but maybe she keeps some stuff. I feel like Louisa would be annoyed with the things in boxes.
Yeah, I don't know exactly what this apartment has been used for, because I would think if it was like a sanctuary space for her or somewhere else for her to go, that she would have it a little bit more clean, especially if like Stanford had gone over there like they had said before. But yeah, maybe it's just a storage space for her.
Yeah, we have a trash truck outside. I guess that what this mostly reminded me of is when like you could hear the bus going by. So I feel like this was maybe an homage to like the traffic on the street that you wouldn't hear in a high-rise apartment on 96th Avenue, but that you would hear in a brownstone.
96th Street.
Yes. What did I say?
96th Avenue would be probably in Queens somewhere.
Yeah, 96th Street. We get the flower dress from the first film in the closet. You kind of see that as we're peeking into her room. And the apartment looks lovely. I love this apartment.
Yeah, and they're loving to do a, like, nostalgic, we're just going to show you some wardrobe pieces and guess where they're from.
She breaks out the coffee maker and we kind of begin a coffee montage.
Yes, and that coffee is probably expired. I'm assuming that Cafe Bustelo has seen some better days.
Just sort of sitting in the cabinet.
Mm-hmm.
So Charlotte is loudly confirming a colonoscopy. This did make me laugh. I thought that her...
Yeah, I said, I have written down Charlotte's loudly confirming Harry's butt stuff.
Yeah. And we get two non-fat lattes. Just real quick, I'm not a fan of the non-fat.
Well, I made note of that because it's a very, I want to say like generational thing.
Right.
Because a woman in her 50s, or even like probably anyone over the age of like anyone past a millennial is probably going to still order a non-fat latte. And now the thing would be like oat milk, almond milk, cashew milk, hemp milk.
Yeah.
Alternative milk.
Alternative milks. Yeah, I just say when you go when you're getting your dairy, just get the full fat. I don't understand taking the fat out of the dairy.
Mike loves a glass of milk, though.
I don't love a glass of milk, but I do have a glass of milk when I'm working a 7-hour shift and I'm very hungry. I'm hungry partway through when I have milk.
I'm hungry and I want my it's Mike's milk time. Approximately 8 p.m. Exactly. Every night is when he has milk, and then at around 9 is when we start the 3 bites of the protein bar.
Exactly. I am nothing if not organized in my patterns. So we get LTW getting, she's getting a movie into Sundance and also ordering two non-fat lattes. And her daughter asks for a croissant in French. I think it's funny, but I'm also thinking if the little girl just learns enough French, I guess she can ask for anything she wants.
Yeah, I love this idea. Like, I'm going to start learning languages just so I can get a bunch of international cuisine.
Yeah, you can't be denied if you ask for it in the language. And they got each other coffees. I kind of saw that coming, that they each got two non-fat lattes and they got each other coffee.
Very nice.
We continue the coffee motif with Andre and Naya. It's just it's a small moment where he got some fresh coffee for her. I think it's just sort of like to touch in with these characters.
Well, you know what I thought of actually in that moment when he gives her that coffee is I was like, she's almost ready for the day. She hasn't had coffee yet.
Yeah, that is kind of funny.
Like, I wouldn't have been able to do any of that stuff. Yeah, good for her.
So we get to a quick meeting of the ladies outside the school, and Lisa says that Charlotte has an update. They're going to the botanical gardens, and she got the botany team from, like, New York Magazine or something like that.
Yeah, and it's a very, very intense PTA meeting, and everyone's in a puffy sleeve.
Yeah, and everyone agrees that this is a great idea, but I put one annoying young mother has a better idea.
Well, she wants to go to City Island. I've never been to City Island, have you?
I never have either. I'll look at it on, like, the subway map and think, how does anyone get there? Because I don't think there's a subway that goes there, but I guess some people have cars.
Mike, I smell a field trip.
I've heard that it's very nice. We could check it out sometime.
Yeah, lots of seafood.
Yeah, they get to, it's an animal shelter. They get to pet the animals. And I wrote, this sounds great, but there's already a damn plan. This mother annoyed me almost immediately.
Okay.
Charlotte pivots back to the botanist, and I guess one of them is deaf, which is a selling point.
Sure.
And then I wrote, teen mom hadn't heard back and assumed Charlotte dropped the ball.
And then LTW comes in and is like, Charlotte never drops the ball. Check your spam folder.
I like it. I was like, back off, Deirdre.
Yeah.
And they have a nice exchange and find out that Charlotte's the only one from the group invited to Herbert's birthday. That is happening on the... Is it happening on the 19th? I wrote that down, so it must be true.
I'll be there. But keep it on the QT.
Quiet time.
Oh, I was like, I know what a DL is, but not a QT.
It just means don't tell anybody. Yeah, keep it on the QT.
Well, so does DL.
I guess so.
The down low.
And Charlotte says she wants to have a get-together as well, and LTW says she's free this Thursday, which makes it Monday, because she says the day after tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And Charlotte says she can do it. LTW says nothing fancy, but Charlotte immediately cancels the colonoscopy.
Which isn't smart. We're you know, like, Harry's colon health is more important than a dinner with LTW.
Yeah, I would think so. Unless you can just reschedule for the next weekend, I suppose.
Well,
and Miranda's brewing coffee, and she's clearly hungover or just very tired.
Or both. And she talks about the comedy concert again. Why are we saying comedy concert? But she smells like pot.
Yeah, she reeks of weed. And it's, he says, after all the shit you give me. And I wrote, you're 17, young man.
Yeah, you're 17. Ooh, don't do the Miss Saigon reference. You're 17 and you're new here today.
She can't not, people. Forgive her.
I can't not. I'm sorry. You're 17 and your girlfriend spends the night every single night and she's eating marshmallows for dessert time with her bare hands out of the jar.
Yeah, there's a lot. I get that this is a choice. But she gets so defensive about all of this. Miranda does. And I just kind of want to be like, you're the mom. You're allowed to say, like, yeah, you're not allowed to smoke pot because you live in my house and you're 17. I don't know. She gets very like, I was at a comedy concert and they were alternative type. I don't know. It just feels very weird to me that she's so defensive about it.
Well, I think it's not about the pot and the comedy concert. I think it's that maybe she has feelings a brune for Che.
Yeah. And I wrote, Louisa, you don't live here.
Yeah. She doesn't even go here.
And Miranda's not caffeinated enough for this conversation. It's just an interesting little scene that we have.
I like that response because a majority of these like conversations of late have been with, you know, everyone having to explain themselves and learning lessons. And in this moment, she's like, I'm just not yeah, doing it.
We're not doing this right now.
We're saying alternative types this morning. Yeah.
So Carrie's going through her clothes and there's a noise from the kitchen. And I don't think this can happen, but there's just coffee everywhere. Like, I don't know what you would do to a coffee machine to make it do this.
Yeah. It's a lot of, like, she must have put 43 gallons of water in there.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't really get what would cause that. But it's fine. It gives her an excuse to put on a tutu and a striped top and leave her apartment.
You call that a tutu?
I did.
I was like, Carrie has just found, like, the crinoline from underneath Charlotte's first wedding dress and has decided, you know what?
Yeah.
I'm just going to throw something simple on. I do love, though, that when she goes into the bodega or the... Yeah, I guess it's a bodega still. It's owned by a Greek man, so I was...
Yeah, I wrote bodega too, and then immediately was like, wait, what classifies something as... Because I never even heard the term bodega until I moved to New York City.
Yeah, so then Carrie, as she runs into the corner store to grab a coffee, I do love that the woman walking in there just, like, gives her a look like, what the hell is this girl wearing?
Yeah, she gets a little up and down eyeing there. And I, like, why do I love that he calls her Caroline so much? Something about him calling her Caroline, like, makes my heart hurt a little bit.
Well, there's two things about it. So at first I thought he was just getting her name wrong the same way that my landlord for 13 years called me Lisa.
Uh-huh.
However, that is her real name, I guess. I did some research and like other Sex in the City deep divers have found out that like in an interview somewhere a long time ago, they did say it was Caroline.
Oh, I never knew that.
Me neither. And because I even was like looking into the Carrie diaries and it was always Carrie. And it's nothing that, it's the same way that I think Miranda Hobbs' birthday is July 17th. Like, I think it's just something that maybe the writers decided, you know?
Yeah.
A long time ago that like we were never told. I did love it so much. And actually this scene, once again, my life aligning with Sex in the City. When I was watching this scene, I was thinking, oh, I never had a relationship like that with the guys at the deli by my apartment. And like, I wish I would have made an impression with these characters of New York City. And I don't know if I've ever made an impression on anyone. And like having all these crazy thoughts. And I'm at my parents' house for Christmas and the phone rings there. And I hear my dad answer it. It rings at their house phone. And my dad answers it and he puts it on speakerphone because my parents exclusively talk on speakerphone. And it's my old landlord from Queens. And he's like, hello, this is Lisa's old landlord. I am calling you because I cannot find Lisa's number. And I want to wish her Merry Christmas. But he had my parents' phone number. And I happened to be there and we talked. And he said how much he missed me. And I was like, oh, this is just like Caroline getting her coffee. I did make an impression. And you guys, if you knew my landlord, if you knew Christos, that was a very good impression. I just want to let you know.
Yeah, so he brings up her marriage and her leaving the neighborhood, and I do think it's funny that moving from, like, 70-something to 90-something is considered leaving the neighborhood, but I guess that is how New York works, that, like, every 20 blocks is a new neighborhood.
Well, yeah, and even every 5 blocks is definitely a new deli, you know? It's like a new place where you go and get your coffee. It's a new...
Yeah.
You know, it's a lot of new stuff. Yeah, and she has to say to him, because he asks her, how's Mary life? And she says, you know, he died and he had a heart attack. And he says, okay, the coffee is on me. And you know what?
Yeah.
Take a roll.
Poor Caroline. I don't know. Like, it really, it's something about that familiarity, like, really, I don't know, tugs at my heartstrings a little bit.
I like it, though.
And we get back to the big apartment. Yeah. We get back to the big apartment, and we have Hello, It's Me instrumentally playing as she looks around. And, of course, we finish by looking at the Peloton.
Get it out of there. I've been saying that this whole time.
Yeah, well, she does. We get to the three ladies at lunch, and I thought he would be there. You know, for a second, she forgot. And we get really quickly to she's selling the apartment.
Did you notice in the apartment, in the kitchen, there are two sinks? There's a sink on the island, and there's a sink where a sink should be.
I don't think that's uncommon for a very nice apartment like that, though.
Jealous. Yeah, the salt and peppers are full at lunch, and they're talking about how she wants to sell it. And Miranda... it's like, no, isn't that what they say? Like, no major changes when you're going through grief, and halt. Don't do anything when you're hungry, angry, lonely, or tired, which maybe these are things that they tell you to do when you're, you know, experiencing trauma or grief. It's also what they tell you to do in your first year of sobriety.
Don't make any major decisions.
Well, no, but also halt. Like, that's like a huge...
Oh, gotcha.
Like, recovery jargon is like, I didn't even know that it was a thing outside of that world. So I just found it interesting and, you know, like, hungry, angry, lonely, tired, which I'm sure it applies to many things.
But Carrie says that she's all action. She already gave up the Peloton to a doorman, I'm guessing one of the Joes.
Yeah.
And she contracted a realtor, and next topic. She's kind of ready to move on. Though the thing about giving away a Peloton is that don't you also have to have a subscription for the Peloton to actually use it?
Yeah, but I don't think it's like a computer or a cell phone where it's registered to one person. Like, I think you can just buy, because I can buy a Peloton subscription right now on my phone and do their other workouts.
Oh,
or I could do, there's people that have a Peloton. Yeah, you can like have a bike that's not a Peloton and have a Peloton subscription.
Oh, cool. All right. I wasn't sure about that. Mm-hmm. So Charlotte wants them to be at her dinner party, and I do like the only if you're up to seeing people, and Carrie says, I see people all day long. I live in a city.
Yeah.
I don't know. I enjoyed that.
Miranda, well, I will be there, unless it's tomorrow night, because I'm having dinner with my law professor.
Wow, that's quite the turnaround.
I know, right? I killed it in class today, arguing a point about motherhood and inequality in the workplace, and she wants to talk about it more over dinner.
Well, that must have been some argument if you got a dinner date out of it.
I'm going to order another one of the... Should we just get a bottle?
No bottle. We're fine like this.
Okay.
And sort of a knowing glance from Carrie, who I think isn't really taking it all that seriously in this moment.
Right.
So we have a car pulling up with a SEMA NYC on the license plate. They actually only wanted it to say SEMA, and apparently that either wasn't available or wasn't allowed for some reason, which is why they ended up with SEMA NYC, which I think works just as well. And we have some cigarette butt littering, and out steps
SEMA. Tell me about it, stud.
Yeah, we have SEMA Patel, played by Sarita Chowdhury. I mostly know her from the Final Hunger Game movies, but she was a recurring character on Homeland and on Jessica Jones. She was also on one episode of the TV series Divorce that was Sarah Jessica Parker's next series that she did at HBO that I only watched like an episode or two of, but I'd be curious to know if that at all factored into her getting this job.
I've never seen Divorced. I should watch Divorce.
So we found out that SEMA means boundary in Hindi, which is funny because she has none.
I liked that.
And she needs to know more about this wallpaper. Yeah, she's good. I mean, you know, you have to sort of say that you don't have to say. I would say that immediately you do kind of get some semi-Samantha vibes from her.
100%. Yeah, and she's walking through and she's like, I love all this. It all has to go. I love all this. It all has to go.
Yeah. I love it. It's stunning. It's rich. It's gorgeous. It all has to go. And I do like that we get the reference of Big not being a fan of beige.
Which is kind of a jab at Natasha,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And people need to be able to picture themselves living here. And it was funny how in this moment, I kind of didn't see her point. But we'll get there eventually. Because for me, I look at this apartment and I'm like, leave everything the way that it is. Because I think that it's absolutely incredible.
Right.
And don't we just need a buyer with a vision and buyers are just dogs with money? Okay.
And I love that she's like, come with me. And she's like, what else would I do? That was like a very old Carrie moment. Like that moment just.
No, yeah.
It was very cute.
It made me giggle.
I know you've suffered a loss, Mrs. Preston.
Carrie.
And I can do this at whatever pace you're comfortable. Fast, slow, tomorrow, yesterday.
How's day before yesterday?
And you won't have to lift a finger. My movers are brilliant. They're in and out like ninjas. They move Picasso, so your things are going to be fine. No offense to your things.
And we get to the closet, and Carrie has something important to say.
No one touches the shoes.
Yeah, and Seema gets it because she names all of her purses.
Meet Lorraine. Which I like that name for a purse. I've named all of my purses. Meet Cheryl.
Yeah. Lorraine. I just recently have become friendly with a coworker whose name is Lorraine, and it took me a long time to say this to her, but I've only ever known Lorraine. This is way too much information, but I'm going to go ahead and share it anyways. I've only ever known the name Lorraine as a person that my mother's first husband cheated on her with. And so I've just always thought of Lorraine as like, in not positive terms, but I'm coming around. There are nice Lorraines as well. I've met at least one of them now.
Lorraine, 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 Lorraine. I'm begging of you, please. That's your mom singing it.
That's So she says that she could sell the place just based on the bathroom, but there's one thing that could pull it all together.
A Peloton. That seems strange. Like, I don't...
seem a little weird.
I mean, maybe in 2021, it's not strange because everyone had a Peloton, but it also feels a bit like a very expensive staging piece.
Yeah. Maybe she just has one somewhere. Like, she uses it in staging apartments.
Yeah, she's like, I just gotta wheel this in.
Yeah.
And every time they use it, they're like, ugh, this thing's so heavy.
And then Carrie's supposed to be in Midtown in 20 minutes, and Seema has enough to go on, so let's get to the car. And in the car, Carrie smells...
the smoke.
Yeah.
And, yeah, they're going to 47th between 5th and 6th, and I just Googled it because I was like, I'm pretty sure there's nothing there except pawn stores and jewelry stores. And that's exactly what's on 47th between 5th and 6th, just a bunch of pawn shops and jewelry stores. So they're selling some stuff.
Yeah. And, of course, Carrie's going to smoke, and we find out that Seema has quit 14 times.
And Carrie lights it up, and, you know, there they are.
Yeah, she's smoking out the window with her curly hair and sunglasses, and it looks so like season 2 of Sex and the City. Like, just her hair and her look, like, looks like such a throwback to me. I don't know if that was purposeful, but I really enjoyed how it looked.
That's the first time Mike Jensen has ever enjoyed anyone smoking.
I could do without the smoking, but I like the look. So we get to Ali Stroker discussing social media with the podcast crew.
Just realize 47th between 5th and 6th is where Carrie records her podcast.
There you go. That would make sense.
That's where they're going. They're going for her to record her podcast. Duh. Okay. So yes, we go into...
yeah.
So Ali Stroker is discussing social media. Ali Stroker, who won the Tony Award for Best Supporting Actress in a Musical or Best Featured Actress in a Musical for Oklahoma.
Yeah, I got to see her in that. She was very, very, very good. I enjoyed her, and I enjoyed that production is maybe stretching it, but I'm glad that I got to see that
production. I really enjoyed that production.
Very good. Very dark.
What did you say at the end? You didn't know how you felt about it, and then at the end, you burst out into tears, and you were like, well, I guess it made me feel something.
Yeah, I made eye contact with one of the cast members as they were singing the finale, and I burst into, like, violent tears. And was like, I guess I was moved by this performance. Tony winner for Oklahoma. She was in Only Murders in the Building as well, which we sort of mentioned earlier. She's going to be in the upcoming episodes of Ozark. So I'll be curious to see what she plays in that, because I did get into Ozark during lockdown. I watched all first 3 seasons. Yeah, this is Chloe. And she likes to say, sucks, stinks, shit the bed. You need to post like your life depends on it. Yeah. And Che is the only one posting because her life does depend on it, she says, which is, you know, funny. And Chloe singles out Carrie for not posting in 3 weeks and makes a lot of death references.
Carrie just kind of gives her the look and doesn't say anything. And then Chloe realizes what she has done.
Yeah, well, my boyfriend tells her that's enough.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and he's your boyfriend now.
You know, not really, but let's pretend. Let's live in that world. This is Franklin. We haven't actually really talked about this character other than the fact that I find him very attractive. He's played by Ivan Hernandez, who was Billy Flynn in Chicago for a spell. He was also the wolf/Cinderella's prince in the Into the Woods that was at the Delacorte Theater several years back.
Yes, I did not see it, but I wanted to.
I did, yes. I have mixed feelings about the Ally Stroker character. Let me just say that really quickly. Like, I think that Ally Stroker does a really good job, but it feels like she's just there to be loud and sweary, I put.
I think she's also there, though, to kind of give this other side to Bobby. Because then we see her, because he's like, gosh, read the room. And then they start fighting. So we see that they've had a relationship of some sort together.
Yeah, there's something going on here.
She tells him to wash his towels more than once a year, all this stuff. And it kind of, because like on the podcast, Bobby is this disgusting, kind of chauvinistic man. And I like that in this moment, she just puts him in his place and we just see him as just a little, not a little boy, but like immature. I mean, obviously he was immature before, but it's just an interesting, I think she's there also to give us another side of him.
Yeah.
Girl power.
Yeah, Che's enjoying the show. And we have like the young love, not so young, not so love.
Oh man, if that was me Chloe was going off on, I would have totally played the death card just to shut her down.
Oh, I'm saving it for when she tells me I have to go back on Twitter.
Which I agree. I don't understand Twitter at all.
Well, Mike has a hard time with Twitter, but sometimes he has a tweet and it goes viral.
I did have one tweet that went semi-viral. My moment of glory. Mm-hmm. So we get to Harry wondering about his colonoscopy. Like, didn't I have a colonoscopy the next day? But dinner is clearly too important because right now they're mom friends and she wants to be real friends.
And this isn't foreshadowing. Like, I had this really dark thought for a second. Like, nothing's going to happen with Harry where he missed this colonoscopy and then something happens, right?
In the very next episode, just like colon cancer.
Yeah, I was just like, Charlotte, this is, I don't know, it's very, very important. I know many people in my life that have, you know, had this. And
I think we'll be fine.
Okay.
But we get to the conversation of, you know, impressive couple and they're going to really have to bring it. And I do like that Carrie's there for fashion.
Mm-hmm.
Miranda's there for politics and Stanford and Anthony, gay.
And, you know, she mentions like the other couples, the Shapiros, the Downies. And after that, Harry's like, ooh, bringing out the big guns, which made me wonder, like, what did the Downies do? Like, who are they?
Yeah, and the Tates, but the Tates are sort of vanilla, which of course makes Charlotte quickly realize
everyone is vanilla.
Yeah. So why not ask the Jenkins? They just had a great brunch 2 years ago. But there is a valid point to, like, we did lose a year to COVID.
Right.
Like, something that happened 2 years ago feels like it happened less than 2 years ago because there was a whole, like, year that you just didn't see anybody.
Yeah, and Mike, do you think you ever get invited to places just because you're gay?
No, but I am often the fifth wheel or the third wheel. Or I'm almost always, like, the single person.
Me too.
Which is fine. And I did have that thought of, like, all of these couples. But clearly, Carrie's not going to be in a couple. So,
right.
Hey, look, we're the Carrie.
We are the Carrie. Hey, if anyone wants to set Mike and I up with someone, but not each other.
I was going to say, if anyone wants to set Elise up with someone, go for it.
No, Mike too. Yeah, and so they're going to talk to the Jenkins in 4C. And then we go and talk to the Jenkins in 4C, and we meet.
So this actress is Rebecca Naomi Jones, mm-hmm. who was also in the Oklahoma that we were just talking about.
She played Lori. She also was in American Idiot.
Yes, that's what I think I first knew her from, was American Idiot. She was in the recent Genius Aretha series. She played Carolyn Franklin, so that's another thing that I know her from. And I like the sort of like, did you get my text? And she's like, yes, all four of them. And
yeah,
I thought I sent two. I need to get my phone check. It just randomly sends texts to people. That's, which isn't really a thing.
Yeah, and like, lay off that sweater, Charlotte.
Yeah, and you know, will you be able to join? And she already has a dinner, and it's just a weird conversation where she's like, but you could pop by. You could just come and pop by for a drink, and it's a lot. And I do sort of love that it ends with Charlotte being like, you know, take your time, text when you know for sure you won't be able to come, and like, the second the door closes, we get a text.
Yeah, not going. It's from J.Crew.
Yeah. Yeah, so Charlotte has called Anthony about an artist that he used to date, and I do like that it just gets to, like, you mean the hot black guy?
Yeah.
It's like, he's more than his race, he's a person. And yes, that is who I was referring to.
So instead, he suggests his Colombian friend who is ethnically ambiguous.
Yeah, and we also get to, like, Stanford lit his address book on fire. I don't know. This is, none of this is great.
That sounds about right.
Yeah, I guess so.
You know, I do like, though, that Anthony is just, like, Anthony is always just Anthony. Like, he is the one character, I think, that we have not really seen any, like, I don't want to say any growth with, but any, I guess any growth with. He's kind of stayed the same.
Well, except for, I feel like once upon a time, Anthony was the crazy one and Stanford was sort of the calming figure. And I do feel like we've switched that in this series. That like suddenly Anthony's like, yeah, he's crazy, whatever. And Stanford is the one who's like, you're making me crazy. I'm going to burn your address book. Like, I do feel like we've flipped that a little bit, which I don't mind at all. I think I can definitely see that dynamic having changed.
Anthony's just
over
exhausted.
The course of like 11 years of marriage.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's just tired.
Yeah.
We get to Charlotte approaching Deirdre to ask if she and Jeff are available.
And I love that Deirdre's like, who's Jeff?
Yeah. It's pronounced Joff, and I wrote, you can go fuck yourself, Deirdre. I don't like this character. I find her to be really, really annoying.
Well, apparently so does everyone else.
Yeah, because here's the thing. If your husband's name is Joff and someone calls him Jeff, you're not like, I have no idea who you're talking about.
Right.
Like, you know who she's talking about.
Yeah, it'd be like if someone's like, Mike, that podcast you do with Elisa. And he's like, I have no idea what you must be thinking of the wrong person. No idea. Mike does pretend to not know me sometimes, though.
Sometimes. So it's last minute, but she thinks that she can go. She's going to go and check with Joff.
I hate Joff. I hate Joff and Alex.
Yeah, I don't like any of this. So LTW quickly runs in to tell Charlotte that they can't make it to dinner because they have plans that she didn't know about with her mother-in-law. Because he didn't want her to bitch about it all week long, and he's not wrong. This is also their relationship. This marriage is very interesting to me.
Well, I just think LTW hates her mother-in-law, or her mother-in-law hates her.
Yeah, I guess that's it.
Which isn't also uncommon.
Yeah, and Charlotte gets it. There's no rush. And Deirdre is back and definitely in, but Charlotte suddenly remembers about the colonoscopy that I hope that she can reschedule. Like, I hope that we can take this time to actually get that colonoscopy rescheduled.
Yeah, that is God doing for Charlotte what she could not do for herself. Rejection is God's protection in that moment, Charlotte. Get that colonoscopy for Harry, please.
Yeah.
Very important.
We have a C. You do drop balls. And I wrote, I may actually hate this woman.
Oh.
That's all. I'll let it go.
Wow.
So we get to Miranda and Naya waiting on a reservation. This is a reoccurring thing. I feel like I have had more experience watching people waiting for reservations on this and the previous series than I've ever like waited on a reservation.
How often
before.
Do you make reservations?
But maybe it's just because I only go to places that serve nachos.
Yeah.
Almost never.
Yeah, I was
I'm almost
say.
Just always like, where are the nachos?
The only time I ever go to places where I need a reservation is if we're a large party or it's, I don't know, something very specific, going somewhere very specific.
Yeah, for sure. And she's not trying to be unreasonable. And I just wrote down that this actor playing the host, I believe his name is pronounced Jardon Milton, and he doesn't have any credits. Do I know you? Are you listening? Are we friends? He's so familiar to me that I feel like I've either met him or something like that. But I had to write that down.
Did you check Facebook?
I did. I don't know that I know him, but I feel like anyways, it's probably nonsense, but he seems very familiar to me.
Well, if someone who's listening knows him, how does Mike Jensen know him?
Yeah, how do we know each other?
Did you go to Splash on Musical Mondays?
Yeah. Because we may have met there. That would make sense. Yeah, and they have no record of the reservation, even though she does. And we have some odd back and forth of, like, what are we going to do about it? And yeah, Miranda says there are some cute places nearby, but Naya has decided that this is a trial and she can't walk away from it.
And then we find out that Naya did indeed have a reservation there in their San Francisco location. And this happens. This has happened at the restaurant Mike and I work at often.
All the time. It's bizarre how often it happens that someone has made a reservation at the wrong location. I mean, granted, it's at least the same city.
And then they start, like, yelling at us, though, like it's our fault.
Yeah.
But that's also not, like, uncommon. So.
Yeah, and I do like that Miranda asks if she should call and let them know that they're going to be a little late. It's good. And they're at the table, and, like, this is so not me. And Miranda says it's usually her, and we sort of get to Naya talking about the fertility drugs that are messing with her everything, and Miranda says she knows how hard that can be, and this is getting our conversation into, like, you've been through this, and you have kids, and Miranda brings up her good friend who went through hell, and this is Naya's second trip to hell, which is privilege information. I do want to say that I don't know a ton of lawyers. I know a few, and they almost never talk in lawyer talk, and I feel like on this show, lawyers go into lawyer talk all the time.
Well, here's the thing. You are not a lawyer that I know of.
I get, maybe that's true.
So, like, you know, I'm not going to sit here and make copious theatrical references with someone who has never seen a musical before. Actually, never mind. I take that back. I've been doing that for the past 4 years on this podcast.
I was going to say, you lie.
But you know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't sit there with someone who has never waited tables before and start talking to them about, like, you know, posi touch or aloha. which are different computer systems at restaurants.
I guess I'll ask my friend Dana if when she's with her lawyer friends, they use the word object all the
Dana,
time.
Dana, when you're with other lawyers, when you're with other lawyers, do you guys talk lawyerese?
I have a feeling no, but I'll ask.
Shout out to Dana.
Shout out to Dana. We get to, like, this is where you tell me it's all worth it. And I wrote, we have a nice, honest conversation about motherhood and that it depends on the day. And and sort of getting to the negative side of the argument and how, like, she doesn't need the hard sell. She's already getting the hard sell from society, including from her house cleaner. And I was like, Magda, I don't think so. But I had that moment.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. When her last round didn't go through, she was sort of relieved. And that her and her husband love their life. It's close to perfect. But she's afraid if she doesn't have a kid, she'll regret it. And now we have a great conversation about regret.
Mm.
As Miranda brings up the woman from her class who didn't get married or have kids and is now a federal judge who goes home to an empty house. And there are nights that she would love to be a judge and go home to an empty house. And what I love about this is the idea that no matter what path you take, that's the path you took. Like, there's always that chance of saying, well, but I didn't do this. But at some point you just, I guess, have to make the choices and then say, well, this was the path that I decided to go on. I don't know. I said that less eloquently than they do on the show.
I choose my choice.
And I will say that the whole, like, so you can't have it all, and Miranda saying, no, you can, it's just really fucking hard. But I sort of want to be like, no, you can't. Why aren't we okay with saying that? You can't have it all. No one has it all.
Well, also, like, for some people, maybe having children isn't having it all. I think what's interesting here is Naya, I think she's just in a place where she doesn't necessarily want to have children because she's happy with her life and she knows that having children means you do have to sacrifice a lot of things, and sounds like she doesn't want to do that, but because of the outside society pressure, she feels like if she doesn't, then she hasn't done something. She hasn't had it all. And, you know, I deal with that sometimes with men, like having children and relationships and things, where I feel like, oh, does everyone think I'm behind because I'm currently not doing those things, but I'm happy where I am. So I don't know.
Yeah, I guess I just mean, like, you can't have kids and also not have kids. Like, you can't be married and also not be married. You do at some point have to decide what you want in your life and acknowledge that that means you're not going to have the opposite of it in your life.
Right.
So we get to Carrie and Seema at an open house, which is described as Mad Max meets Dances with Wolves. And this is when I got like, oh, I guess that I do see what you mean by you can't have too much personality at an open house, because it does definitely distract from the apartment overall.
Carrie is at the open house. I wanted to call this the one with the bearskin rug. Get it?
Yeah, I do get it. I get it. And, you know, what did you think about Seema saying, feel free to introduce me to any men you know with a good heart?
I guess I didn't think about it. I just thought Seema's trying to get set up. I want to be like, well, Carrie, don't you want to be with someone? But probably not right now.
Probably not right now. And Carrie brings up the motorcycle inside. And yeah, Seema explains this is why you don't leave your furniture in your place. She goes to say goodbye to the realtor, and Carrie is approached by her worst nightmare.
Yeah, he was in The Godfather and The Sopranos. And he's very good. Very, very believable. But Carrie does not want to go home with him, even though he's looking for a downtown lady. And she looks like a downtown lady.
And they want to check out the bedroom. It's not good.
No.
Yeah, it's pretty. It's not a great situation. We get to drinks, Cosmos even.
Mm-hmm.
We get our first Cosmo. And it's Seema showing her what's out there and Carrie asking how many apps she's on. And we have some OkCupid and Tinder puns that are, you know, pretty funny.
And yeah, they're swiping and they decide to split the cacio e pepe. Carrie makes a comment to Seema about, well, I'm glad you're still out there and trying to date. And
I didn't hear anything wrong with that sentence, but you have a look that is exchanged, or not even exchanged. You have Seema gives her a look, and I had that moment of like, something just bothered her, and I don't know what it is, but I'll be curious to see when we get here.
I did have something wrong with it.
You did?
In that moment, yeah. And it could be personal for me, because I feel like as a single person who's currently trying to not be a single person, who's like on the apps and swiping, it's like that thing when someone says, you know, oh, I'm not eating carbs right now, and you're immediately like, I shouldn't be eating carbs right now. And that's kind of how I felt in that moment. I was like, oh, still out there. Oh my gosh, I'm still out there and I failed. Like I heard it as me personally have failed, even though Carrie Bradshaw is talking to Seema.
Yeah, it's funny. It just didn't hit me at all. I do like where she says that she wants an app that serves up just the right man, which reminded me of Miranda wanting a crib store that raises your child. Kind of I don't think that was intentional, but it was a thing that I thought about. The other thing that occurred to me in this scene as I was watching was, oh, I think I see what's happening with our three main ladies, that they're now each being paired up with a new person, a new woman, who sort of either reflects their life or brings out a certain aspect of their life. That it occurred to me now that we have Miranda as like the professional woman who ended up having a child, even though she hadn't thought that she was going to want a child at that point in her life, matched up with this other professional woman who was deciding whether or not she wants to have a child. We also have Charlotte, who's the sort of like perfect mom, being matched up with Lisa, who sort of has that same role. And now we have Carrie, who found the love of her life and has lost him, being paired up with this woman who is looking for the love of her life. And I thought that was really, really clever how we had sort of paired these women up with other people.
And then they're all going to get married to each other, and it's going to be a new show.
That sounds great. So Charlotte and Harry are discussing Black authors as they approach the dinner party. And can't I just say that I love Michelle's book?
Yeah.
And Charlotte says they lucked out when Lisa called, and they need to have a more diverse group of friends.
I mean, I don't think Charlotte's wrong in the fact that they could definitely add some diversity into their life. That was something that was widely discussed during the whole first 6 to 7, depending on if you're talking to Mike Jensen, seasons of Sex and the City, you know. Mm-hmm. So that's not, that is true. And I love Harry, though, just in general, because he is so Harry. Uh-huh. Not literally, but like just everything he said. I'm just fascinated every week by these characters and their ability to pick up where they left off in the sense of their little like stylistic characterizations. And I guess when you've done something for so long, you're able to do that. But yeah, I just, everything he does, I'm like, oh yeah, that's Harry. That's Harry. That's Harry.
Yeah. And there's sort of the exchange of like, does your husband drink? And you know, he has to drink. He's married to me. And I did have a moment of like, what if we find out that Lisa's a nightmare? What if we find out she's like horribly abusive to her husband? I don't think we're going to find that out.
She's so stunning, though.
She's crazy gorgeous. Beautiful.
Every time as she comes onto the screen, I'm like, okay, like, what's going on here? I don't know. I just think she's beautiful.
Yeah, and Lisa has to go apologize for something her mother-in-law said to the chef. And as Charlotte and Harry enter the party, and they quickly realize that now they are the only Caucasian couple that are at this party.
Yeah.
Can we talk about Chris Jackson real fast? We haven't really covered him as an actor yet.
Yeah, I mean, we've mentioned he's in Hamilton, and he's in the In the Heights movie.
Yeah, he was in the original cast of In the Heights on Broadway, and then he has a cameo in the movie. I didn't realize that he's on that TV show Bull. I don't watch that, but okay. He's like a long time regular on that. And he was on the TV show Oz way back in the day. I didn't watch enough of that to know if I even remember who he is, but I was a little surprised by that. That's all. I just wanted to like touch on him real fast because we hadn't really talked about him as an actor.
And he was George Washington in Hamilton, right?
Yes. Yes. He was George Washington in Hamilton. And Charlotte recognizes someone, but doesn't really.
Yeah. She thinks that's Gwen, but it's not Gwen.
But she knows who she's talking about.
Which I was
that's
like,
my favorite part of all of that.
I love it so much because it's just like it's such a cringe moment, but it's such a real cringe moment. Like, that happened, you know? Like, Charlotte would have done that. Like, that would have happened.
Yeah, just with confidence, though.
Yeah.
With confidence that she knows who she's talking to.
And that, Gwen, I'm sorry, I just want, I think Gwen should win a Emmy for just that line reading, just the way she did it. I watched it like 3 times. It was just perfect.
Yeah, it's very good. We get to carry back at the big place, and it's all beige.
Mm-hmm. To be honest, and I think maybe you were going to say this too, I did see what Simo was talking about. I was like, oh yeah, I feel like this apartment's much more easier to sell at this point.
100%. Yeah. And she calls Miranda, and the experience of the opposite of going from beige to color, it's like we never lived here. Our life is just gone. Everyone is sorry for her, which is maybe why she's drawn to Seema. And Miranda asks if she should be if she should feel threatened. It's probably more real estate than real. But then we turn the corner and
it's back.
The Peloton is back.
Did you notice when Carrie makes the comment of like, I don't even know who I am anymore, or there's no sign of us anywhere here? And Miranda makes that dark comment of like, I feel the same way. And like, Carrie just glosses over it. It's like Miranda's sitting. I think it's foreshadowing, but
it probably is. Yeah. Because she also doesn't say goodbye to Miranda, which I always think is a funny phone call thing where it's like just hanging up the phone. So she gets big and goes and gets a Barney bag for big and off she goes.
And I wonder if that's symbolism too, because Barney's is also no longer with us.
True. Yeah. We're back at the party and Herbert is coveting all over the cake. I don't think we blow candles out anymore. Maybe we do, but
we don't in a real post-COVID world, but in the end, just like that post-COVID world, we probably do. Remember, they're living, they've just decided that, like, it's fine.
Right.
COVID happened and it's done. They're living in the world that we all thought we would be living in.
Yeah. And Charlotte is asked what she does and says that she's on the events committee at her daughter's school, which is how she knows Lisa. And Herbert calls Lisa and Charlotte the Thelma and Louise of the committee, but without the crime and suicide. Spoiler. Yeah, and Charlotte's just being modest. She's on the board at the Met. Eunice asks her about art, and Charlotte says it's her passion and mentions that she used to run a gallery, which I like being reminded of that. And Eunice likes art, her financial advisor.
And then Charlotte comes in to save the day.
In terms of art, I can't think of a better investment than what Lisa has selected here.
Really?
The Gordon Parks photographs are amazing. And the one by Carrie Mae Weems. The collection includes Deborah Roberts and, oh, Barclay Hendrix. And the early work by Derek Adams, which is like owning early sheet music by Beethoven.
Oh.
And then my personal favorite is the Micheline Thomas in there. She did the very first portrait of First Lady Michelle Obama.
I loved her book.
And in this moment, too, I was like, wow, how does Charlotte know all this? But it's also like, yeah, that's what Charlotte does. She has a passion for art. It would be like me sitting at a dinner party and someone turning on like the Tony Awards from 1993.
Absolutely. It's her expertise. I did think it was kind of funny that we have Eunice as a musician who doesn't care about art. And I guess those are two different worlds. It struck me a little bit funny.
No, I actually never thought of that. So, yeah.
Funny. Yeah, and then it's time for cake and port, and we have the whole, like, thank you, Thelma, unless you want to be Louise. And just for the record, Thelma was the Gina Davis character, which I guess does make more sense.
And also, it's interesting that, well, not interesting, I'm sure they thought of this, but in the first scene, LTW saves Charlotte, and now Charlotte saves LTW.
Oh, yeah, it's true. And Carrie's back at her place in the closet, and she puts Big on a shelf up high until she can figure out where he really wants to be. And then she sees a card sitting next to her bed.
I'm sorry. I can't. Don't hate.
That's basically what it is. Dearest Carrie, by the time you read this, I'll be in Tokyo. I couldn't tell you, not without crying, and you've had enough crying. And I guess it's worth noting here that Sanford did have a 10-episode story arc. He was supposed to be in the entire series. And in fact, he was supposed to be in this scene. When it was realized that Willie Garson was too ill to do a 10-episode arc, this scene was written for the two of them, for Stanford to say goodbye in person to Carrie. So, you know, and he was just too tired. He just couldn't do it. So they rewrote it to have it be a scene with Anthony. And I don't know. I think that part of it, I see people commenting of like, oh, what a bad way to take that character out of the episode and a bad way to write off the character. And I kind of want to be like, what did you want them to do? Like, they were dealing with the situation as it happened. I get that everyone has opinions, but I don't know. I just think that it's not that they wanted it to be this way. This is just the way that it kind of had to go. So
yeah.
And I think that they handle it as well as possible.
Well, and also I remember reading, you know, Michael Patrick King saying, like, we were not going to make the, they didn't want to make it a thing. Like, it was a devastating, heartbreaking loss for them. And they didn't want to make it part of the story. Like, it wasn't part of the story. It wasn't fun. It wasn't a plot point. It was a terrible moment for all of them.
Yeah. So this is sort of how we determine now that we find out that Stanford is managing a TikTok sensation who's huge in Japan.
I want to be a TikTok sensation.
And be huge in Japan?
Mm-hmm. Just like I just want to do those fun dances.
Yeah, and why the dramatic note, who is he, the Lost Bronte sister? And that Stanford hates to disappoint people in person. If something is happening in a friend's life, good or bad, Carrie wants to know, which leads Anthony to reveal that Stanford also wants a divorce. And we end with the, I don't get it, we were so happy.
Were you?
No. Yeah, now we have Lisa and Charlotte at lunch, and they had a great dinner and loved everyone, and everyone loved them, and such a good friend. And Charlotte has a confession, and it's that, you know, what we've already dealt with in the series, that she was sort of ashamed and or sheepish of the fact that Lisa would have been the only person of color at her party. And Lisa confesses back that when she realized that Charlotte and Harry would be the only Caucasian couple, that she also was sheepish about it. And I really like how Charlotte admits that she pushed Harry because she wanted to do everything right. And Lisa says back to her, good luck.
Mm-hmm.
I think it is about trying sometimes. We're not all going to say everything right and do everything right. And there has to be a certain amount of grace, I think, where we are able to say, this was my intention, or I understand your intention. I don't know. We're not always going to do it right all the time. I know that I haven't.
Well, and I think that comes down to everything in life. Like, no matter what we do in life, we're never going to do it perfectly. And if we strive, if we think we are, then that's, even worse because it's like there's no room for someone else to say, hey, that wasn't right. You know, it's like remain teachable at all points, even when you're doing everything to the best that you can in that moment. Just know that they're like leave space to learn more. And I think that this may be a lesson for Charlotte. Like, she's just has a little bit more space to like learn more and listen more and do more. And
yeah, and I like that we end with Charlotte saying that she was so desperate that she had invited Deirdre, and how did you get out of that? And I pretended to drop a ball. So there we go. And we get back to Carrie at the big beige apartment, which is what I call it now. And is the open house closed? And she brought sushi.
And then we find out that Seema broke a photo and doesn't think it's a big deal. And then Carrie goes on a huge rant about how it is a big deal. It was on his side of the bed. And why did you move it? I moved it because it was a personal item and it was personal and he's never coming back. And this isn't okay and it's not okay and blah, blah, blah. And then we get to the important conversation.
Yes. That Seema had no intention of being insensitive. And sometimes people aren't aware of being insensitive. And today that's her. And the other day at the restaurant, it was Carrie.
And I love this.
And it's when she used the word still.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I love that she gives it back to Carrie. I love this moment because, you know, we know Carrie is selfish. And usually Carrie gets away with being selfish. And in this moment would probably be one of the times that I would let Carrie get away with being selfish because she's grieving. But I think it's important that Seema says this because it allows Carrie to kind of once again like be taught something, like remain teachable. And like that's kind of the thing that they're all doing in this episode, is they're all kind of like having this other person who's not. The interesting thing too about all three women with all three of these other women is that no one is sitting there lecturing them or intentionally trying to teach them something. All they are doing is holding up a mirror. And I think that's the symbolism maybe of these women. It's like, I'm just going to hold up a mirror for you and so you can see how you're behaving.
Yeah, that, you know, it's not the way that she meant it, but it's the way that Seema heard it. And I do think that that's an important point to make too, is that it is possible to hurt someone's feelings without intending, and it doesn't make their hurt feelings not valid, and it doesn't make you a bad person. And that, you know, maybe Carrie has a point. Maybe there's part of Seema that isn't sorry for her because she found the love of her life and had him for many wonderful years. And that is something worth still putting yourself out there for. And Carrie agrees and says, would you like some yellowtail? And is it from that place on Madison? And if we're going to get into a fine point here, there is, in fact, a restaurant called Hirimasa on Madison at 93rd, which is the only sushi restaurant that I could find in that area. But I don't think it existed when they were writing this episode, because I think that it's fairly new. So I wonder if this was written and it just coincidentally there's a place there now. But I did think that was kind of funny, because we finish up with, and just like that, we began our real friendship. And then we have In Memory of Our Beloved Willie Garson.
Yeah, it's very, very sad.
You know, and I want to go back to everyone gets to have their own opinion and everyone gets to say whether or not they think that things are being handled correctly. I've spoken to people that love this new series. I've spoken to people that watched the first two episodes and did not watch anymore because that's how much they didn't like it. And we can sometimes be a little bit picky about things because we're doing a podcast about it. But overall, I'm really, really enjoying what they're doing. I think that they're trying very hard to address the issues of Sex and the City without being too preachy. And sometimes that's maybe impossible. So maybe sometimes it feels like we're being hit over the head a little bit. But I don't know. I for all the complaints that I can say, I applaud their efforts. And I think that they are doing a very good job with some very difficult material.
Well, and also I think that, you know, we're never. And I kind of addressed this on the Instagram question thing. Like, you and I said from the very beginning, we are not going to hate watch this show. And we wanted to do this podcast from the very beginning for fans of the show. And we're going to talk about And Just Like That with fans of the show, you know, and people that want to watch And Just Like That. And I, too, am enjoying it because I like these characters. And they're flawed humans. We're flawed humans. And it's, you know, we're just watching them live their lives. And sometimes they say really stupid stuff. And sometimes I say really stupid stuff.
Yeah.
I guess I don't get a script in the morning, though. So
I do one last credit update. Sarita Chowdhury makes it into what would have been the opening credits. She's in the first group of names that are listed afterwards. She comes in with fifth billing. I will say that Mario Cantone gets a fourth billing. So it's the ladies and then Mario and then Sarita. But So she's a major character here to stay. And I really, really enjoyed what she did in this episode. I'm super into her character. I think this actress is phenomenal. So I'm excited to keep watching to see what she does.
Yeah, I couldn't help but wonder if Seema's going to be the new Samantha.
Yeah, I think there's a little bit of that there. Yeah, I don't think that they'll ever go full tilt, but...
Well, think about it, right? Like, we need a woman in this show... Like, the fourth woman in the show needs to be kind of on the hunt. Like, no one was on the hunt yet.
Right.
You know, Carrie's definitely grieving, and Miranda is trying to just, you know, having her, like, what's happening in my body moment.
Uh-huh.
And Charlotte's happy with Harry. So,
yeah.
Well, maybe Anthony. I can't picture, I know Anthony's going through a divorce, but I don't think he's going to, like, be grieving for too long.
Yeah, I could see that. I could see him getting through that fairly quickly. I guess I couldn't help but wonder how much it costs to completely redo an apartment like that.
Yeah, that's a really big staging budget.
Yeah, so that's my curiosity there. So there you go. That's episode 4.
Yeah.
Gosh.
Wow, there's only 10 episodes.
Yeah, we only have 10 altogether. So next week we're going to be back.
Next week or this week?
I mean this week, but we're going to say next week because we're going to pretend like it's the future when no one realizes that this came out several days late. We'll be back next week with Tragically Hip. We'll be back next week or in a few days, depending on when you're listening to this.
Mike didn't make a mistake. Mike's fine. I don't know what that means.
I don't know either.
Bye.
For more information, like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram at We Couldn't Help But Wonder with no caps, no spaces, and no punctuation, and Twitter at WCHBW Podcast. And don't forget to check out my new podcast with Vanya Arslanian, Mike and Vanya Can't Not. You can follow Elise at Evie Castle and me at MikeJensen77. We would love if you would share this podcast with someone, put up a link or tell a friend, take a moment and rate us on Apple Podcasts, or even better, write a review there. Most importantly, stay safe, and let's all take care of each other. We'll be back next week with Tragically Hip. How's it going? How you doing over there in Queens?
I'm not in Queens.
You're not in Queens. That's so funny.
I've been in Queens since April.
You're an Upper East Side lady now. What is wrong with me?
And then the other butthole Don that I had, I forgot. So never mind.
And as Charlie?
I like it. Keep it.
As Charlotte and Harry enter the... Yeah. But I don't know where the butt was, so I'll end that sentence at person.
You're sitting on it.
And that, you know, maybe Carrie has a point...